let's move on to the next agenda item, which is the PNB Personnel Committee. Lydia, since you added this to the agenda, do you want to give us some background?
Yes. It's just that I think we need one with a body. The PNB is charged with evaluations of our CFO and of our ED, and but more, no, I shouldn't say more importantly, I won't put a priority on it, but we also have a number of issues. I happen to be on both the GM Evaluation Committee and Governance Committees here at the LSB, and it became clear to us in the GM Evaluation Committee that everyone is using not just an entirely different process at every station. Some are extremely simple and very brief, and some are extremely elaborate. And so, I mean, there is just so much disparity in terms of how these are being conducted. So there should be at least a narrowing of it, so there's some uniformity and, of course, regional flexibility. But just the policies, you know, policies that we need to deal with personnel. In terms of litigation, that has been where most of our litigation has come from, and so we just, in my opinion, need a personnel committee. We've had them in the past, and we absolutely would have no other mechanism by which to move forward on evaluations of that we are specifically charged with in the bylaws.
Okay.
So I ask that this committee recommend to the PNB that they consider forming a personnel committee of the PNB at the June meeting.
Okay, and that's a motion?
That's a motion.
Who's making the motion?
Lydia.
Brazone. Could you please repeat it?
Okay, I move that this committee recommend to the Pacifica National Board the formation of a PNB personnel committee.
At the June meeting?
At the June PNB meeting.
Point of information.
Mm-hmm.
1 second. Arpal, did you get all that?
I have. This committee recommends to... Okay. This... Okay. This committee recommends to the PNB the formation of a PNB personnel committee at the June PNB meeting.
That's it.
Alrighty, Serene?
Yeah, I was wondering if there's going to be a whereas clause that covers the reasons that you just presented. I mean, as opposed to them sort of creating it and not knowing where we're going with it or what our intention was.
Well, I assume that if we bring the motion forward that it passed, that then we would go into discussion. And I mean, this committee can determine whether we need to go in that. But, I'm fine with just adding that to discharge
point of information, please.
To fulfill those elements that we are charged with in the bylaws as regard to evaluation.
Okay, thanks.
Point of information is George.
All right, I have Richard and then George.
Thank you. Who exactly is this personnel committee going to be evaluating?
Well, according to the bylaws, since the board is the entity that hired that's over the CFO, there are supposed to be evaluations of the CFO. There has never been one, and because of the period of hire and something that was that there has to be like an evaluation of the ED as well. It is the board who is charged with those functions. So.
Okay, so those two, that's...
Well, no. And what I am recommending is that the scope could, I mean, it could also, it doesn't have to be. I mean, those are minimally what personnel has to deal with. But what I said was that there are also other issues happening at LSBs with regard to GM evaluations. And we can look at policy. This is all about policy where that's concerned. And in terms of the CFO and the ED, it wouldn't be the personnel committee making the evaluation. Far from it. It would just be the recommendation of a process to fulfill our bylaws mandate.
Well, part of what you just said is a little murky because there's defined procedures for evaluating general managers already in the bylaws.
procedure? No, it just says that the LSBs have to evaluate the the GMs. But
that's right. If we decide that they're not good, then we say so, and then it goes to the ED to make a decision. It's pretty defined.
No, exactly. But I know that in our committee, we had asked we went around throughout the network asking the other stations to send us samples of their evaluation forms as we were trying to develop one. We found that the disparity was significant, and maybe that's okay, but maybe it's not. I mean, we're in a different situation than we were when the PNB was first formed, much less the IPNB, is that we now have an HR director and we now have corporate counsel. So we have two sources that we can vet our policies and procedures in relation to these issues, but we have had legal issues in the past that have to do with personnel and with evaluations. And so to avoid those, it would be good to have some, and not even just to avoid that, but I know our local committee here would really relish the idea of having some uniformity of process. You do the evaluation. There's no process in the bylaws as to what you do with it beyond. I mean, do you send it to the ED? Does he have to wait for the LSB evaluation? You know, there's tons of questions that come up if you're on a GM evaluation committee. But
further clarification.
But
so you're not saying that this personnel would evaluate GMs, but it might set up help the local LSPs develop a unified process for the evaluation.
Yeah, that would be fine. But the thing is I'm just saying I am not recommending that we and this committee set up the parameters of the personnel committee necessarily unless we choose to. I don't think it's a good idea. We're too small of a group. And we really need to have more input from the different stations. But on that, but minimally, the bylaws does charge the board with valuations for the CFO and the ED. So minimally, we would have to do that. I am also saying the personnel committee and the PMB may decide to enlarge that scope, to broaden that scope. And if they do, I am just saying, for as a point of conversation, there are issues, right, that they could consider, but might not. We might not have the capacity to do that.
Okay, thanks, Lydia and Richard. George?
I think I've heard what I needed to know, but let me just ask it anyway then. This is basically, as I understand it, a sense that there needs to be something in place to handle these diverse issues without trying to put into a direct charge as to what this committee is going to be actually doing. Is that correct?
Yes, beyond what the bylaws have already charged us with. We have direct responsibility for CFO and ED, and there are inherent in that responsibility the evaluations, which the board has historically been negligent in producing and has created other situations as a result of that negligence. So I am just saying put a personnel committee in place so that something can be developed minimally for that, but the board can have a discussion broader than what we're having now in June to determine whether it wants to go farther. And it may also just decide, okay, let's spend the next 3 months developing something just for those two, and then 3 months down the road we may consider broadening the scope if there's enough interest from the other LSB management committee, review committee.
Can I ask a point of information?
Go ahead.
I had to go attend to my children, so I kind of missed this. So we're asking for a personnel committee, but we're not going to say what that personnel committee should do?
No, we can, but we can add that the personnel committee will deal with the charge of the bylaws as supervisors of the CFO and the ED to produce evaluations as called for in the bylaws, period. That could just be, I'm not going beyond that. The other was just conversation about what could possibly be broadened. You know, the PNB may decide to broaden it to other issues. I know there's interest at my local station at KPFK for that to be the case, but that I realize that may not be the case across the board. So I'm not putting that on the agenda for this committee right now.
Okay. Do I still have the floor?
But
So the way I understand the bylaws is that each station evaluates their manager and program director, and then the PNB evaluates the ED, and then I kind of learned well into this process that we're actually supposed to be, the LSBs are actually supposed to be evaluating the CFO as well. Do you guys have, is that what your understanding is?
No, that the PNB is the one who is supposed to be evaluating the CFO.
Oh, okay, well, that's easier. Okay, so
yeah.
Let's just go with that. Yes, that has never happened. I'll just tell you all that I've been on a lot of the different PNB evaluation committees. I was on the ED evaluation committee when the executive director was Dan Coughlin, and then I was on the ED search committee, and then we decided to form something called the personnel committee last year, which for, you know, probably the reasons that everybody's so overextended. I mean, there was a bitter fight of who would be on it, and the members were chosen. And then that committee basically never really met. And so I just want to caution us that, you know, we tend to choose these committees that are, you know, more glamorous or seem like they might do more interesting things. But even then, it is hard with the way the structure is to get enough members to meet regularly enough to actually do the stuff. So that's my, I'm kind of nervous about approving a committee that doesn't really have a charge, and then just say, well, here, we think we this might be a good idea. You guys figure out what it's going to do and populate it. I don't know. I'm just throwing out what I'm thinking. I'm not necessarily against it, but I don't think I'm for it either. Well, another thing that happens with those kind of committees is that people start going, well, you're now an executive committee, and we're not supposed to have any. So, I don't know. I think if we're going to do it, I think we should have a charge for the committee.
Okay, thanks, Wendy.
Arpal on the stack, please.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Has a member just said that the PNB has already formed a personnel committee last year?
Last year they did, and they didn't say it was ad hoc. They just said, yeah, we'll have a person. And actually, I don't remember exactly what they told them the charge would be at the time. We didn't have an HR director when they did that. So part of it was that, you know, just to hear some of the stuff that the HR director would do. Now we actually do have an HR director. So, you know, I have to point out the accomplishments. There are some accomplishments. We now have an HR director when we didn't for a long time. So that's good.
Well, my question then is, if the PNB has already passed a motion creating a personnel committee, then this motion wouldn't do anything at all. I mean, you know, whether or not the PNB and that committee ever did anything in their lives is a different issue. But if such a committee was created by the PNB, even if they've ignored it, it still exists. So this committee recommending they form one would actually be out of order, I should think. I mean, so we need to know they absolutely did form this committee.
Yes.
If they
didn't
form this committee,
it.
Then I would suggest this is an out of order motion.
Well, it could be.
This is Lydia. I just have a question of Wendy. Then it wasn't sunsetted. I mean, it was didn't say it was just for last year, so it would.
No, there was never a motion that said it's over. So maybe it should be to remind them that they have one and should populate it. I don't because a lot of the members have changed.
Okay. Well, then my motion. Then I would draw my motion unless. Yeah, I would draw my motion, and my new motion is from this committee to populate the personnel committee for this year.
Okay. We have a new motion on the floor. We're actually out of time for this agenda item, so we'll either need to go to a vote immediately or extend time. All right. Hearing no extensions, and let's go to a vote.
I need the wording of this again.
I move that the PNB populate the existing personnel committee of the PNB.
Well, can I make an amendment?
Sure.
Populate and activate. Just putting people in it isn't going to get anything done.
Okay, populate and activate. I accept that friendly amendment.
Oh, it's been around a long time. You're right.
Put a motor in it.
The previous ED was evaluated, but the CFO wasn't.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Oh, Madam Chair, was the amendment accepted without objection?
I'll ask now. Are there any objections to Richard's amendment?
Can I ask a question, Julie? Do you remember, you were there, do you remember what the charge of that committee was?
The charge was to, one, to hire, to support the hiring of an HR director, to then work with that HR director to develop some basic policies and procedures around personnel issues, and to also kind of deal with personnel issues as they came to the board.
Okay. That, I don't know if that's exactly right, but that's close enough. Okay. I've lost the whole computer since.
Hey, can we move to a vote? Art Paul, are you ready?
Okay. First, we have the amendment. We should see if there's objection.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Okay, hearing none, let's move to a vote.
Okay.
Asking if there's any objection to the motion.
Are there any objections to the motion? Okay, hearing none, so moved. Let's go to the next agenda item, which is the ad hoc members of working groups. Lydia, do you want to briefly summarize Mary's email?
Yes, and I think she spoke to it on the first call that she was on, and it was basically a question. She would like to serve on the bylaws committee and I believe on the code of conduct committee. I can't be on my computer at the same time, but anyway. And on our working group, sorry. And so the question is, and I don't know that we've ever really substantively addressed it, is who can be members of our working group? Oh.
Yeah, well, I'll talk if no one else wants to. I think we should have the option to...
This is Jim. I don't quite understand the question. You're asking who can be on what work group?
Well, for example, we're a committee, and we were voted on either by the PNB or, as in your case, by your LSBs to serve on this committee.
Right.
Okay, so then this committee has working groups. They have the bylaws committee and blah, blah, blah. But we have never had the discussion about who can sit on those, who can serve on those working groups of this committee. Do they have to be LSB members? Can other PNB members, rather, who are not on the committee, sit on those committees? So can members outside of this committee be part of those working groups who are on the PNB?
I see.
Go ahead, Wendy. Wendy, go ahead.
I'm sorry, am I muted? We're talking about PNB members now?
Well, Mary's a PNB member, and she's interested in joining the bylaws and the working group, so I'm assuming that that's the scope of her question at this point.
So
we've never defined membership of the group.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to say yes. I mean, we need to have the option. What I was going to say before you said that was that that we should be able to consult experts anytime we want, that there are a lot of interested people, and now I'm going to go that far. I say yes. I think that, you know, we have a lot of trouble getting enough diverse viewpoints on things that I think it's a good idea.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. Are there further comments on this?
Yeah.
Richard.
Art Paul.
Okay, I heard Richard, Serene, and Art Paul. Go ahead, Richard.
All right, well, the real issue comes down to politics and voting. You know, it's one thing to say somebody can participate, and otherwise, you know, there's always a possibility that, you know, seven people could show up for one working group thing to push something through. I'm not saying it will happen, but I've seen it happen out at KPFA. And, you know, we have some restrictions on committee voting situations to avoid that. It's always a potential situation. I certainly have no problem with anybody who wants to come and work on something. The question is, you know, the real issue, the political issue we have to decide is who gets to vote in those bodies, just like who gets to vote on these bodies. Can anybody just drop in and vote, you know, because you could change the nature of the committee. And as somebody said earlier, I don't remember who it was, we've all been elected by somebody to be here, and that, those bodies can hold us responsible, and if we don't seem to be doing our work or don't show up, they can replace us. If somebody's not been elected and they just choose to come on their own, then who are they responsible to? So, you know, I think that's what we have to look at is the voting issue. I don't care about anybody coming and participating. Like Wendy said, experts or other people or interested people, anybody who wants to do work, you know, I have no problem with people who want to come and give thoughts and opinions. But I am a little concerned about, you know, people sort of packing meetings and that potential. Now, I'm not saying that's why this motion is being made. I know why Mary wants to be on every committee. Now, I'm just kidding, but she's on about 13 of them already. So she works very hard. And she wants to be on that. And I don't have a problem with her being there and giving her ideas and sharing her ideas. I just don't know how we change the voting balance, and that's my concern.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Serene?
Hi, thanks. My concern, and I've actually seen it happen on one committee where the chair sort of added a bunch of people, people whom she deemed experts, and these people therefore had access to the committee's listserv, to documents which were confidential documents that had been provided by attorneys that were supposed to have been for board members only, and these included people who were not board members. There was no process by which these people were added to the working group, but suddenly they had access to everything as though they actually had established a fiduciary relationship with the stations and the foundation. And the argument that I heard as part of, after the process, in fact, was that working groups are supposed to be open to everyone, meaning not everyone who's an LSB member or everyone who's an interested TNB member, but sort of everyone on the planet who says, I want to be on your working group. And aside from the fact that that is completely unwieldy, there needs to be some careful thought. And this isn't about Mary, who I have worked with and do currently work with on a number of committees and who certainly is very committed. But I think the broader issue is how are we going to structure this, how are we going to structure the flow of information, what is the process by which LSB member Y gets on, but member Z, who's not on the board at all, but is a member of the station, wants the same right to be on the working group and to take part in every discussion. I think it's not as simple as it may appear.
Okay, thanks, Serene. Arpal?
Yeah, the voting thing is the main deal there. I agree with what Richard said. And we also have to consider that if everybody, you know, obviously everybody on the planet can't do it, but if we allow just, you know, people, if they feel like it, can join the committee even if not to vote, there's also the fact that I believe we have limits for these conference call things, and I'm not 100% certain, but I think we're billed by their usage. Like if you have four people using the conference call, it costs less than if you have 10 people using the conference call. And I think there is even a numerical limit to how many people we can cram into one of these conference calls. So I think like a committee could invite someone in who has expertise in something or other, and that could be done. But to allow people to drop in on their own, I think causes rather a lot of problems. I mean, I can also see, you know, another problem where, even without voting again, if four or five people show up and, you know, they can and they want to debate some particular thing, that could also be disruptive to the work of a committee, especially if the committee's been doing something that, you know, they've wrestled with for some number of meetings and they finally are getting close to an understanding, and then a couple of people come in and say, what are you talking about? You know, it could be a bad thing. So I would say that really the working groups should be basically subcommittees of the committees and require committee membership for voting and participation, although they would be allowed to, again, invite in people to give expertise.
Okay, thanks, Art Paul. Are there further comments on this?
This
go ahead,
Jim.
Bob.
Jim, may I get on stack also?
Is that Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Jim spoke up before me, so go ahead, Jim.
Oh, sorry about that, Jim. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We, as committee members, we have to keep in mind that we have responsibilities. People put us here to do a job, and I don't think we should pass that responsibility on to someone else. I think we should look at the task that we are charged with, look at it, and if we determine that it's too much and that we can't do it and we need additional people to assist us, then I think we can consult people for opinions and so forth. But I think we should keep the responsibility of this committee with the committee. I'm not for excluding anyone. I'm for us trying to get a handle on what we're supposed to be doing and do it. That's what I had to say.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Bob?
Yeah, well, I really agree with both Jim and R. Paul. I won't repeat the reasons each of them gave for keeping kind of the system we have now, but I'll just add that one of the successful things about working groups I've been on, whether here or in other organizations, is that they're generally fairly small and they lend themselves better to informal conversation where everyone can participate and you don't have to worry about the meeting going on for 5 hours because every member has to be heard, you know, as many times as they want to speak. So that's yet an additional reason to kind of keep it the way it is now, but I just want to support the notion that any time there's somebody, whether they're a PNB member, an LSB member, a Pacifica member, or not at all, who has genuine experience or expertise in an area, I think by majority vote, the working group could, or for that matter a committee, could invite them on a particular call and say, you know, like maybe you were the lead person in your LSB on developing a process for such and such, and you spent a lot of time going back and forth on drafts of that document and on revising it and whatever. So please, come on, the next two meetings we're really going to focus on a national template for doing such and such process. So, yeah, we want your expertise. Come on the call for those two occasions. But, you know, if there's consensus, if there's a majority saying that person has a genuine, you know, expertise, sure. But aside from that, I don't think so. Now, there's one special case I want to note, which has come up in a related context at the PNB, and that is the right, what I agree should be a right of any PNB member to listen as opposed to speak at any meeting of the board, its committees, or its subcommittees or working groups. So, because not all of these are necessarily streamed. So I think that could be one simple rule we could propose, is that a PNB member has an absolute right to listen to anything they want, but speaking is a different question.
What am I going to do the rest of these?
Julie?
Yeah, we actually have 3 minutes left on this agenda item, so go ahead, Wendy.
I just think it's awesome that people are assuming that there's so many people doing all this work. I'm torn. I understand the arguments on both sides, but I do want to remind this committee that we have formed 4 working groups of the governance committee, in addition to, you know, all the committees that exist within the foundation, and with all the LSBs, there aren't that many people even willing to do it on the LSB level. At least there's 2 from each station to do that for the main committees, and the PNB members are extremely overworked. They're basically required to do, you know, some do five, some do one, but they have to do a lot of committees already. And so, you know, of the four committee working groups that the governance committee has formed, only one of them has met. And so just I think that the idea is that there's a lot of work here that needs to be done. I'm going to point out that, yes, it does cost the foundation extra money. Yes, we do pay per minute, per person on the call, on the toll-free number. And I'm glad that this committee is using the number that does at least allow people to use their free long-distance service and not charge the foundation money, and I thank you all who are doing that. The point I'm trying to make is that there is a lot of work to be done, and the working groups don't vote. They might vote on what they're going to say, but the committees are actually the ones who then recommend to the PNB, who then decides whether to do whatever they did or not. And I would encourage them to well, I don't know. That's my point. We need help.
This is Lydia. Can I?
Go ahead, Lydia.
Oh, okay. Yes, I agree with Wendy, and I think that it would still entail an election. So, where this board, this committee would have some form of electing. I would not support just anyone showing up whenever they wanted to stack a vote. I don't think that's what Wendy is thinking of either. We're thinking about right now, since there's only one committee that has met, and you never have 100% attendance, so in terms of the cost, there's already a projected cost of a full group attendance, and that rarely happens. So so I would say that PMB members could certainly, if they wanted to join a certain working group, because as in Mary's case, she was on those working groups in the past and on the governance committee meeting in the past. So I think that it's absolutely legitimate to allow our PMB members, if they wish to do so, because if you have too few people, then it's what kind of an opinion is it if you only have a couple people that show up to your meeting? So in order to do work, yes, I agree, it should be small groups, but I can't see a lot of PMB members rushing to join all of the working groups. And so I would support this. I think that we should at least allow PMB members who wish to join working groups and have developed expertise as a result of having been on these committees either locally or in the previous board, for example. But the committee should approve it. It should be a consensus by each committee by our committee anyway. And I think we're just speaking, I don't know if what kind of a policy we're thinking about developing, but that the committee would always determine who would be in its working group.
Can I be on the stack?
Sorry.
Actually at time, so we'll need to extend time if we want to continue discussion, and at this point there's not a motion on the floor, so...
I'd like to make a motion.
Well, we need to extend time first, so let's go there, and then we'll...
Yeah, I move to extend by 5 minutes.
Okay.
Ms. Bovino, extend?
This is Lydia.
Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, so moved.
That's probably right.
Go ahead, Grace.
I move that working groups may invite or include at their discretion PNB members who may wish to participate, non-voting PNB members who may wish to participate.
What point of information?
Hold on one sec. I want to make sure Arpal got this. Arpal?
Pardon me. I'm sure here. One second. Sorry. All right. I have working groups may invite or include at their discretion non-voting PNB members who may wish to participate.
We've got so far. Well, let me talk about it.
This is Lydia. I have a question of Grace.
Hold on one sec. We have Serene at that point of information, and then Lydia.
There's a man on the call who's having another conversation or something. I'm hearing a voice. It's not directed at the group, but it's hard to ignore.
Can folks star 6 when they're not talking?
My point of information is this. If, in fact, we're saying that working group membership can be open to interested PNB members, on a non-voting basis, which is certainly fine with me. Are we, by inference, also stating that working group membership should not be randomly extended to others? Because, you know, I'm concerned about this because, as I said, with the Elections Committee, there were a bunch of people who were added, one of whom ended up being, I think, the new National Election Supervisor, you know, giving him by providing him with access to certain documents, I would think, you know, an advantage over other candidates.
This is argument. Excuse me. Point of order.
So I am concerned about how it's used. So is that, in fact, what we're saying, that if it's open to PNB members, that it's not open to others because we're now defining how working groups can extend their membership?
Yes.
Okay.
I think no.
Well, the way that the motion stands, that's what Serene's asking. And so Grace is the maker of the motion, and Grace says yes, so that's the intent.
Well, she better put it in there then.
It doesn't
extend it to non-PNB members.
No.
Right. It doesn't exclude them either.
Will Wally ever get hold of you?
No, it says that we can...
put somebody on, I was asking the question.
I believe her language does exclude other people.
Okay, we can say...
It mentions one category and no others, and that would be a proper legislative interpretation.
Can folks wait to be recognized before speaking? Sorry I had to raise my voice, but obviously y'all aren't listening otherwise. Wait to be recognized. Whoever's not speaking, please put star 6 because it's extremely distracting to the rest of the folks on the call. Our Paul, can you please reread the motion?
Okay. I have. Working groups may invite or include at their discretion non-voting PNB members who may wish to participate.
This is Bob.
Okay. I have... Lydia, then Bob, would anyone else like to be added to the stack? And we have a minute. Lydia?
Yes, Grace, did you mean for the working group to make the determination of their membership, or did you mean for the committee of which the working group is a working group? So in other words, should the determination be made by the governance committee in our case, or should it be made by the code of conduct committee, for example? I mean,
I think it should be made by the working group itself.
Itself.
Especially since it's limited to PNB members, and they're non-voting on those working groups.
Okay, and they cannot vote. They just come in with voice.
Right.
Okay.
That's in the motion.
Right. Okay. Just clarifying. Okay.
Okay, we're at time right now. Sorry, Bob, if we'd like to extend, we can do so at this point.
Well, could I ask for 1 minute? Maybe 2 minutes. I wanted to propose a slight amendment.
Okay, are there any objections to adding 2 minutes? Hearing none, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think since working groups are formed by volunteering, they're not as representative as the committee itself, which has a strict formula about, you know, equality among the stations, et cetera. So I think, although hopefully this will rarely be a controversial question, whether to invite so-and-so to be on or this one or that one, I think it would be more democratic to have the decision be in the committee. So the working group would say, you know, so-and-so has asked us if he or she can join. What does the committee say, yes or no? And then if it's yes, then starting at the very next meeting, that person can come in. So that's my amendment, is to make the decision be the committee's decision, not the working group's decision.
I'll second the amendment. This is Lydia.
Okay. We're now entering on or second to running out of time, so I'd like to move to a vote on the amendment and on the main motion if there's not another motion to extend time. Okay, hearing none, then let's go ahead and vote on the amendment first.
Do you mind reading it, please? Can you read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Arpal, can you read the motion as it would be amended by Bob?
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Working groups may invite or include. Okay, the original motion reads, working groups may invite or include at their discretion non-voting PNB members who may wish to participate. The amendment is, decision is by the governance committee. So, I guess...
Well, did I... Can I clarify?
Yes, go ahead, Bob.
If I said governance, I misspoke, because I meant this should be a policy we recommend for the entire PNB. So, in other words, for every committee of the PNB. That's number one. And
it's
maybe...
About governance.
Yeah. But also, maybe just simplify it by saying any committee can vote to whatever your language is, or whatever Grace's language was about, you know, invite PNB members to participate in working groups or something like that.
Oh, something like that. Start
the sentence with any committee may vote to, and then go back to what you have there.
This is Serena. I want to offer an amendment.
All right.
We're actually at time, Serena, so we're just moving on votes at this point.
Don't we have the first?
We have to vote on the amendment.
The secretary has a point of
view. Just on the amendment, then.
Any new amendment.
Yeah, because the other might be moot if it doesn't pass.
Okay. The intent then would be that the committee makes the decision, and you want to plug that in there somewhere.
Right.
Because the main motion, again, is working groups may invite or include at their discretion non-voting PNB members who may wish to participate. And the amendment would be that the decision is by the committee.
Now, I can just start by saying that any committee may invite or include blah, 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 whatever it said, non-voting, in its working groups.
Okay.
Or to participate as non-voting members in its working groups.
So there's going to be no debate on this unless we extend time?
We're already moving to a vote. The opportunity to extend time has already passed. I had asked for that a few minutes ago, and now we're just making sure that the language reads what the intent was of the amendment. I had asked Arpal to read the amendment so that we can move to a vote. So,
all right. So what I have is the amendment would change it to read, any committee may invite or include at their discretion non-voting PNB members who may wish to participate on their working groups.
Well, it should say as non-voting members. There is no such thing as a non-voting member.
Yes, that's backwards.
Should invite PNB members to... I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, to participate in its working groups as non-voting members.
Okay. Okay, so it would change it to read, any committee may invite or include at their discretion PNB members as non-voting members on their working groups.
I think that's it.
You got it.
Okay, now that we have the language correct, is everyone clear on what the amendment is?
Yeah.
Okay, hearing no no's, I'll assume that everyone's clear. Can we move to a vote on the amendment then?
Julie, I guess I'd like to appeal your decision to not allow an extension now. We've been operating informally, so I'd like either... You know, if you would grant permission or else put to a vote whether we should have maybe, I don't know, 5 more minutes of discussion.
Okay, I'll leave it to the body.
Let somebody make a motion to extend if they want.
Okay.
I move that we extend by 5 minutes.
Are there any objections?
Yes.
Okay, let's do a quick roll call vote on the 5 minutes.
Okay. Second, please.
First of all, that's great.
The motion is to extend the time by 5 minutes. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan.
No.
Jim Brown.
No.
AC Bird. Cade Campbell. Mark Hernandez. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Rosalinda Palacios, Richard Phelps.
No.
George Ryder. George Ryder.
Sorry, I was muted. Abstain.
Serene Roberts.
Yes. Abstain.
Julie Rodriguez.
No.
Wendy Schroll.
I'm sort of confused, but I say no.
Deb Shafto.
No.
Four yes, six no.
Okay, the motion to extend fails. Let's move to a vote on the amendment. Is everyone clear on the amendment?
No.
Okay, can you reread the motion as amended by Bob?
Okay. The amendment would make the main motion read, any committee may invite or include at their discretion PNB members as non-voting members on their working groups.
Okay. Are there any objections to the amendment?
Oh, God. Yes.
Okay, can we move to a roll call vote?
Never mind. No, I don't object to that.
Okay. Are there any other objections? Okay, hearing none, then the amendment carries. Can you please, do we need to reread the main motion as amended again?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, it would now read, any committee may invite or include at their discretion PNB members, working groups may invite or include at their discretion PNB members.
That's the old one.
Read the one you just read before that.
Yeah, that's got it's got a donut in the middle. Okay. Oh, any committee. I'm sorry, yes. All right. Again, my eyes went. Any committee may invite or include at their discretion PNB members as non-voting members on their working groups.
Okay. Are there any objections to the main motion? Okay. Hearing none, so moved. So we are over our originally scheduled time by 16 minutes. We do have one other item on the agenda that Bean had wanted to place under new business. I don't know, and if someone can help me in terms of just the procedure, if we need to extend time at this point to entertain this discussion, or if we just set it as at a 15-minute cap, and if we exhaust that 15 minutes, then we go to another extension of time.
I believe we set. Oh, let me look at the agenda here.
Because we started a half an hour late.
Well, new business per se doesn't have a time on it. The ad hoc members of working groups item had a time limit on it. So I would say new business, which we're in now, would be wide open. We didn't assign a time to adjourn or a time to new business in total.
So it's to our advantage to not include a time.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead then and entertain the code of conduct motion that Serene was going to bring forth, and I'll set a time limit of 15 minutes. Go ahead, Serene.
Actually, I'm hoping that someone with a copy of the report can actually read the motion for me, and I'll just move it.
I have four or five notaries.
Star six, George.
George can't hear us.
So there wasn't a motion, Serene. What I said was that, yes, the working group decided
okay,
they...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just want the motion which failed. There was a motion that failed by 2-2. I just need to have the wording of the motion. I don't need, background information. I just need the wording of the motion.
I can read it. I have it.
Go ahead,
Thank
Bob.
You.
Well, we'll let Bob do it.
the working group should restrict its work on a code covering members of LSBs and the PNB, with the proviso that in the future, code of conduct may be broadened to include staff and management after consultation with staff and management and possible modifications.
That's my motion.
Okay, did you get all of that, Arpal?
Nope. Is this written anywhere?
Yeah, Arpal, Wendy sent this to the committee just at, when we were starting tonight.
Okay, so let me find
I can send just a text to you right now if you'd like.
Well, I have Wendy's thing.
Okay. It's in number...
Number five.
Okay. The working group should restrict?
Yeah.
Okay. It goes blah, 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 and possible modifications, that whole
right.
thing.
Right.
Okay. I will have that in 1 second.
And I'd like to be on the stack. It's Wendy.
And who's moving this?
Serene.
Serene.
Okay. All right. I got it.
Okay. Thanks, Arpal and Bob. Wendy?
Okay. So what this report was about, it started out with number one, that we're going to try and get the original motion from the PNB that asked for the governance committee to come up with some kind of a uniform code of conduct for the network. On the background, I will tell you that... it was Dan Coughlin who first asked for this, and I believe that Mr. Guma has said it a couple of times too. And what we decided to do on the working group is get that actual motion. I couldn't find it, and we didn't think it was a good idea to go on people's recollections. So that is one of the things that the working group is working on getting. What were we asked to do? All right. You know, it came up right away. One of the members from New York said, well, this thing we're working on should never apply to staff, unpaid or paid staff. The way that, you know, we've already seen a lot of instances of people on the PNB trying to decide that their main charge is investigating each other. You know, the fact that we have people that are, we have all kinds of players in the foundation. People are charged every day with driving other people away. People are charged with abusing power. People are charged with being in favor with the managers at the stations. There are all kinds of different things going on. It's a complicated structure. And what I think we were charged to do, and what it was imposed upon us at KPFT by the national office, was to figure out what are standards of conduct that we can expect from our listener members, from our board members, from everybody, you know, and it's some pretty basic stuff. Treat others how you would be treated. We were, you know, at KPFT, we had this imposed upon us. And I came on this working group because I didn't think all of it was working. But you have to understand that the people that are on the radio have the power to do all kinds of things with a bigger audience than any of us on the board. And there are lots of different ways to look at this whole thing. And the first thing that came out of the box was, well, it should never apply to us, you know. And so, anyway, I'm just trying to say that we are not at the point when we've only had one meeting of a group that is going to work to try and settle this stuff, and it is a very complicated issue, to then come off the top, not even come to our meeting, not even join our working group. A working group is a working group. They work. And then try and change our charge at the governance committee level when we don't even know what the PNB asked us to do. So I think this is out of order at this time, and I would love to have as much help as we can get with this group. And I would ask the members who want to talk about this now to please come to our next meeting. It is going to be June 13th at 8:30 or Thursday, June 8th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please come and help us work this out.
May I motivate my motion?
Thanks, Wendy. Go ahead, Serene.
Thanks. I think
you know, there's this old parable about removing the beam in your own eye before you go after the mote in someone else's. But at any rate, I do think it's important that board members learn, because apparently there are a number of people who need to learn how to conduct themselves responsibly with regard to the stations with whom they have a fiduciary responsibility. So I think it's fine that the code of conduct that we create as board members apply to us. There are, in fact, contracts, manuals, disciplinary procedures in place for staff, and the boards should, in fact, not be attempting to manage the station by creating codes of conduct for the staff. That process exists separately and should stand. If, in fact, there is down the road, I believe they're working on revising the manual, there's an existing employee manual. They're working on revising a manual that will certainly deal with the staff aspect. The issue here is how board members conduct themselves publicly, and that's the task that I think we need to focus on.